The Grow My Cleaning Company podcast helps owners of cleaning companies just like you to grow your company and yourself so you can make more money and finally get the time and money freedom that probably got you into this business. Discover how to automate and create systems that allow you to grow like crazy without losing control. If you dig the show and want to show some love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. It really helps. Enjoy the show. Hey, Cleaning Nation, Mike Campion here with Jackson Pinky Pinkowski, our marketing guy. He's smart. He's good looking. He smells nice. And he knows a little bit about marketing. So there you go. What else could you ask for in a podcast other than a guy that smells good? So today we are going to talk about bringing the data, not the drama. I see the two big mistakes I see people make in that we coach is too fast and too slow. So we got to find a thing in the middle. So too fast looks a lot like Jackson was just telling me before we started, and I've seen it. We start an ad, we've spent $3.50 and we're like, why haven't we gotten rich yet? Right? Or even before that, the falsity of, I don't have a website. I need a website. And the embedded belief is once I have a website, people are just going to flock to it and then I'll have a bunch of money. And then they spend a bunch of time and money on a website and nothing happens. And, you know, we could just save you that headache right now. And I'm not saying websites are bad. We have a website. It's just a piece of a puzzle, not the puzzle, right? People think we're always looking for silver bullets, but it's, you know, a lot of small, you know, lead things coming together. So the first piece is I start my advertising. I think both of them are the same mistake. It's just low time horizon, right? Low time, high time preference. I want it now. So they watch it like a hawk. They don't spend enough money, right? Because and I'm not saying you should spend more money. I'm just saying, I said, use the data, not the drama. So when we ran an ad with a budget of $20 a day 8 hours ago, and we spent $9, we have no data. So we go right to drama. So that's the short term, which will bite you in the butt. And then the long term is a week and a half in, we get some data and the data isn't, you're going to be a millionaire tomorrow. So we immediately quit and give up and move to the next thing, saying smugly and loudly, that thing didn't work. Whatever it is, Facebook ads, local search, whatever the thing is, didn't work because, you know, we did it for 10 and a half seconds and we weren't millionaires. So we move on. So really those are the two extremes of data, not drama. What is that? How does that play out from your experience of our people, Jackson, and how do you coach them through that to have a little more balanced view of marketing?
Yeah. So, people probably get tired of saying this, but I say it all the time. It's like a watched pot never boils. My mom always told me that, and like it stuck with me. I'm going to tell my kids that, and they're going to hate me. And I tell the people we work with and the people I work with that. Because all these things take time, especially if you've never done it before, or you've never done LSAs, you've never done Facebook ads. I would be genuinely surprised if, like, as soon as you turn them on, they take off. Like, if I had a nickel for every time that happened, I'd probably have like 15 cents.
And Jackson has probably started more campaigns.
So many.
99.9% of the listeners.
Exactly. And that's fine. Like, I understand that. And I try and tell my customers, the people we work with, anybody I work with, or anybody that has ads, that it's going to take time. And you have to be comfortable with that. And then the flip side to that is if you're not comfortable with it, like if you know personally that this is going to put a strain on you financially, this is going to put a strain on you emotionally, mentally, whatever it may be, then you don't have to do it. Like, it's fine. Again, if you're not at that spot where you can't not look at it, right? If you have to be watching it, if it doesn't work within the day or within the hour, within the minute, then don't do it. But ultimately, you trying to put this in perspective, like, too, because a lot of people like to compare themselves to others and do other things. Everybody's doing the same thing. Everybody has the same problems. They launch it. It takes a couple days. It might take a week. It might take months to actually find your groove with these things. But that's the mindset you have to have going into it. And the way you ease that, actually, is by knowing that this isn't your only source of leads, of customers, of bids, of whatever that may be. You have other avenues that you work on and that you explore. This is just another thing you're expanding into and testing out.
So I think that overreaching theme is a big one.
Let's say you're just starting and this is the only, or you've got repeat and referrals, right? That's where most people start. And they're like, I've got that coming. Great. But we find that it's not scalable, right? The quality of leads for repeat and referrals is very, very high. The quantity is poor and sporadic. So we go into kind of the opposite of that, which is typically paid traffic to cold ads, or to paid traffic to cold traffic, which is people have never heard of you. So the warmest traffic you can get is a client, right? Who could know your company better than a client? The coldest traffic is someone that's never heard of you. And cold traffic is on the other end. It's wildly scalable. You can get tons of it, but it's poor traffic because they don't know you, right? So we kind of come to it with the same expectations of, well, Jackson referred me. Jackson's a super happy customer. He referred me to his friend. I called that guy. It was super easy. He signed up at full price with no complaints and seemed great. And Jackson's great. It's like, yeah, if Jackson's a perfect client, he probably hangs out with other, it would be rare if he hung out with jerks, right? His friends are probably going to be pretty cool. And he's probably pre-framed them to go, I've had a great experience. So there's no risk on the guy's side. He knows Jackson had a good experience. He trusts Jackson. It's an easy deal. And then we go to Colt, but Jackson might refer me one dude every 7 months, right? Which isn't super scalable. So we go to cold traffic, which is they've never heard of you. And we do a lot of like call now for a free estimate with no value given. Just here's what we want. We're the best cleaners ever. We don't cut corners. We clean them. Call now for a free estimate. And then we're shocked when nobody calls for a free estimate. And when I say nobody, we've spent $106 over 7 days. And we're shocked when, quote unquote, nobody calls for a free estimate. So A, we've got to understand who we're talking to. I think half of the problems in marketing is we sit and look at it from our perspective, what we want and how we want this thing to work, not from the client's perspective. So the client is probably online searching a lot of different things for a solution to their problem. And everybody's talking about how great they are, right? That would be like, if you were coming here to the podcast, Grow My Cleaning Company podcast, and your problem is you're like, my cleaning company isn't growing. And all I did was talk about how smart I am and how rich I am and look at how much money I have and Jackson, how great of a marketer he is and how great you guys would get turned off immediately. And at the end I go, call now for a free estimate or free estimate for coaching. We get zero calls. So not only is the messaging wrong, but the timing's wrong. So we've kind of established, and those are two things. We'll save the messaging for a different day. We'll stay on the how should we watch our pot. So we kind of covered, if you need this to work and you need it to work tomorrow or it's going to be a failure, this might not be the right way to go. When I say this, I'm talking about paid advertising online to cold traffic. What is a reasonable time frame to get data? And typically we're not going to like the first data. Well, we should, the natural response is not to like it. For a seasoned marketer like Jackson, neither likes nor dislikes it. It's data. So he makes different decisions based on the data. So I want to get away from like it or not like it, but how long, and if we can, Jackson, let's talk in money. Cause again, if you spend a nickel a day, it might take a year to get data. If you spend $1,000 a day, you might get good data in a day or two. So let's just talk in kind of time and money. If we could, how long in time and money should we wait to get data, knowing we're almost never going to get results? And if results is like someone calls and buys something immediately, and maybe even not the first step. So how long till we get data? And again, average, like obviously some people go faster, some go slower, and how much spend, and then how much till we start actually getting like, holy crap, I've got a funnel that works. I put in a dollar and I get in a dollar, I get back $1.10 or $1.50 or $2.
Yeah. That's kind of tough. Cause usually my baseline and time frame is like a month. And then what I like to tell people is it's 2 to 3 times what you would pay to acquire a customer in daily spend. So for example, if you spend $30 to acquire a customer, that's $60 a day you'd be willing to spend in testing to find those customers. That's like my rule of thumb. But if you're just starting, you have no idea what those numbers are. So usually I like to recommend, at a baseline minimum, like $1,000. You got to spend $1,000 in a month. If you're advertising like Los Angeles, that's probably gonna be closer to like $2,000 because that's a much bigger area. If you're in Bozeman, Montana, no offense, Bozeman, beautiful place, but much smaller. You spend less. You can maybe even get away with a little under $1,000 because you got a smaller area. However, that being said, you got to be able to do it for a month. And if you get zero results, like zero paid new customers, you don't look at that as a loss. You look at that as a win in terms of the information you've collected. Because now you know what's not working, what should, what could work, why something isn't working the way it should. Because you'd be really surprised. Like I tell people this and they seem surprised. But when you are selling a service that's reoccurring, like they pay you month over month, to acquire that customer, I'm fine if you break even or even lose a little money. So say, for example, you charge residential cleaning clients $500 a month. If you spend $500 to get that customer throughout the whole process from start to finish, if it costs you $500, I'm okay with that, because month two, month three, month four, month five, month six is pure profit. You're making a ton of money off of them because you provide a great service. You're keeping them on. They're not churning, right? And I tell people that, I'm like, hey, you got to be comfortable with breaking even on that first month. People go, oh, wow, really? I'm like, yeah, because if you look at it that way, now month two, month three, month four, look at all that extra money you're making. And then it starts to click in their head. They're like, oh yeah, you're right. I can be more comfortable with testing and spending budget and getting people in. So even if I only get two or three leads in a month, I now know a lot more than I did if I didn't do anything at all.
Hey, new friend, love that you are here. If you want more Cleaning Nation, more us, you can check us out on YouTube. Similar content, you just get to see each other. It's totally free. Or if you want to say, hey, hit us up on Instagram, Twitter, join our free Facebook group. We love hearing from you, Cleaning Nation. That's what makes it magic. Jump on, we'll see you there.
Yeah, if that client's worth $500 and he or she stays 2 years, that's $12,000. Yeah. Say it costs you about $6,500 to provide the service. That's still $6,000 in gross profit. If it costs you $500, that's less than 10%. Like, come on, that's a great deal. The great Dan Kennedy said, whoever can spend the most to acquire a customer wins. And I know from experience, a lot of the owners of cleaning companies brag about the opposite. You'll come and be like, proudly, like a badge of honor, I have never spent a nickel on advertising and I built this whole company. And typically that quote unquote whole company is 10 or 20 grand a month in revenue, but they've been doing it for 6 years. And it's like, well, you want to build $1 million company? Yeah, I want $1 million company. Okay. So if you've got another couple decades, sure, just do what you're doing and hope for the best that maybe you'll get there. Or if you want to build to $1 million in a year or two, well, then we're going to have to expedite it. So again, if I'm say an average client's $500 residential commercial, just for an easy number. If I'm only willing to spend $100 to acquire that customer, and I have to compete with Jackson, and he's willing to spend $1,000, I'm going to get crushed. It's going to be very, very difficult. He's just going to win. So we're not looking to throw money away. Like the cell phone carriers, they might spend $1,000, $2,000. They will spend thousands of dollars to get a client that's only worth $200 a month in cell phone services. And they'll do that because I don't know about you guys, but I've been with my cell phone carrier for 15 years. Average $200, 2,400, I mean, 30, 40 grand. So even if they spent $2,000 or $3,000 to acquire me as a customer, not a bad gig, not to mention the value their company has for having all these customers. So that doesn't mean we're going to give ourselves permission to be sloppy with money, but yep. It does mean, again, we're just going to go with data, not drama, right? So we have to kind of look at the goal, and it's like, I want to make $1 million and not spend anything. Great. So does everybody else. But what's it really going to take? And again, I'm the same way. Depending on your cash situation, you could even go 2 months. You could even spend $1,000 to get a customer, which short term is going to require some cash, but long term will help you crush because you can just get more customers. But I think for everybody, especially if you charge the way we encourage you to charge, which is in advance, if you spend $500 to get a client, you're going to get that $500 right quick, right? And I know obviously you're going to have to spend the next month with cost of goods sold servicing it, but then boom, 30 days from there, you're getting another 500, you're in the clear. So I think one of the big shifts is to move from who can spend the least to acquire a customer, which is who can spend the most. Anything I'm missing or anything to add on that one, Jackson?
No, I'll reemphasize. We're not advocating for throwing money and burning money or using money unwisely whatsoever. It's all calculated on how you do this kind of thing.
That's why you have to go with the data, not the drama, right? Yeah. So Jackson, we could run an ad and feel, you know, I got nothing. That's always it. I spent $500. I didn't get anything. and they just didn't know what they got.
Right? Got a lot. So
yeah, there's, well, and again, potentially you could have nothing, right? Because what you really got is data, which is information about your client and who buys and what headlines work. I mean, there are, I read a book so many years ago about a direct response marketer, and he had made a, he had written a sales letter, and he, it was 5 pages long or whatever it is. And he, it was some sort of supplement. So the, there was tens of millions of people that he could send this letter to. And he sent like 10,000, which was not a large amount, and got 2 or 3% response rate. And he knew after only spending 10 grand or whatever it costs to send those 10, he's like, holy crap, this is $100 million letter. Because he knew that the combination of the list that he had and the words on that page in that order would create a specific response, because 10,000 people is enough people to know. So that information, and he did, over the next couple of years, he made over $100 million on that one sales letter with that one list with this one supplement. Now, if he just gave that list to 99.999% of the people, it would be worthless. They'd literally throw it away or lose it. Doesn't mean anything, right? But so you could say that was worth nothing. If you gave it to the right person with the list in a 2-minute tutorial, that list, that those that same information could be worth hundreds of millions of dollars. So the exact same thing goes for our clients. When we give money to Facebook and they give us back information, if we don't know what that information means, or we choose not to look at it, that information could truly be worthless. But if we know what to look for, that information would be super valuable. The problem is most people, because they don't get money right away, they take it as completely valueless, right? That would be like me, if I got that letter and I showed it to 10 of my friends and said, read this letter and tell them if you want to buy the supplement. And all 10 said no. I was like, this is junk. I tried direct response marketing. It didn't work. I just literally threw my $100 million letter away because I didn't ask the right people in the right way. So as we kind of wrap, how can people be disciplined, Jackson? Like, what if you could have a perfect client come up and have you run their ads? What would that look like kind of specifically day to day? So people can be like, all right, this is how I should approach it. Like, what would they think? What questions would they ask? How would they respond to data?
Yeah. Honestly, like, if we're working with someone over the course of, I'm going to look at it over the course of the first month. It's really like the first 2 weeks, really. You kind of just let stuff run. You kind of let it go unscathed, untouched, unadjusted. And at the end of that 2 week period, the right questions to ask are really, you know,
and for that first 2 weeks, what are we spending per day?
Anywhere from like, probably like 15, 20 bucks, you know, maybe on the higher end, like 30 bucks a day.
Okay. So 2 weeks would be, call it 15 days. We're talking $400 or $500
Okay, yeah. Cool. That's perfect. So at the end of that period, the right questions you want to ask, obviously top line, you want to ask, hey, did I get any leads from this? Right? Like, well, what kind of information did I get, and how much did it cost for me to get?
Yeah, Jackson, leads? I get three. First of all, let's just, nobody called. And then you ask, okay, did nobody call, or whatever the call to action? Nobody took my call to action. We'll call it a call. Nobody called. Well, I see in the tracker, it says 3 people called. Well, yeah, but they weren't any good. Okay. So we got 3 leads. Yeah. You just unilaterally decide they were bad leads. So again, yes. And maybe they were bad leads. I'm not saying they weren't, but there's a difference between nobody called, which means could the phone number be broken? Were the ads even showing? And 3 people called, but I deem them not who I want to work with.
Exactly. That's a massive difference. On one hand, everything could be broken. On the other hand, it's just bad people, or who you think are bad people. So most of the time it is the latter. It is, well, I got 3 calls, but they weren't people I want to work with. And then great. Okay. Let's dive into that. Why, what made them bad? Well, they wanted this, they wanted that, or they were out of my service area. Okay, great. Because now I understand 2 of those were services you didn't want to give, whether it be deep clean, move in, move out, construction cleanup, whatever that may be. 2 of those bad services, and another one was out of the service location. So then immediately we have that data. I have that information. Now I know, well, I need to adjust the service location on the ads where they're actually showing. And on the ad itself, we need to be more explicit on the services that are offered, or be more explicit on the landing page on what is actually offered. Because oftentimes you don't list out on the ad what it is you do, but you can hint at it. You can showcase like and leverage language around reoccurring, you know, setting up the value around additional, like the services you do offer, right? So that's
perfect example. Say we're going for moms.
Yeah.
In homes who are homeowners. So mom, is the home you spend most of your time in dirty and are you sick of it? Are your kids, now I know she's a mom because I said mom and asked about her kids, different than, are you sick of cleaning companies that don't show up and they cut corners and they don't clean them? That's all about you and what you do has nothing to say. So in the copy, you could start with saying homeowner. That's going to call out non-apartment people. Moms, are you sick week in and week out? That's talking about recurring. So mm-hmm. There's lots and lots of ways you can speak to them that isn't saying, you know, I don't want people to be like, we don't do move in, move outs. Don't call for move out. We only want, because that's all about you. And then I give a crap about that. You're just going to speak to when grow my cleaning company. It's not about the coaching services we offer. It's about growing your cleaning company. So if you don't own a cleaning company, you're going to a cleaning company, you want to grow. I don't have to tell you my services. You're just immediately going to be disinterested. So I want to be really clear, because a lot of people start getting pissy in their ads. Like, we don't want this and you do this. And they start telling the customers what time it is. You don't have to do that. Just speak to the customer that you want in such a way that they grow my cleaning company. People that don't own a cleaning company, don't want to grow, aren't going to reach out. And it was about them and their needs and what pain they have. So when we keep talking about the pain that you solve and talk about them, this is where it comes in. Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt.
No, that's perfect. Because now with that information, you make adjustments. You can adjust for the remaining 2 weeks of the month, because you look at that and you see what kind of, you know, calls, what kind of responses you get. And then if truly, I will just say, if you truly did get zero calls, then, and everything is functioning the way it should, ads are delivering, you know, people can actually call you, the number isn't broken, things like that, then you take a deeper look at, well, is my ad actually reaching people? Am I talking right about the right things? Or is my ad talking about how to make an ice cream sandwich when I want to get people who want cleaning services? You know, is it totally missing the mark in that aspect? But either way, at that 2 week period, you're making adjustments based off the data for the remaining 2 weeks of to the end of the month. And at that end of the month, you repeat the process again. And you understand now, well, hey, this is what the first 2 weeks look like. After I made these tweaks, this is what the last 2 weeks look like. How am I going to carry that over into the next month? And can I spend more based off of what I've received so far in month one?
Yeah. And sometimes you just have to, it's always data. So it could be how many people hit the landing page. Mm-hmm. Oh gosh, I was spending $9 a click. That's expensive. So we didn't get as many clicks. Maybe we can try and get that down to 4. That's data. They hit the landing page, but they didn't click the button to go to the scheduling page or the next thing. Well, how many people click the scheduling page? Well, 20 of them click that. Okay, so maybe the landing page is okay, but how many of the 20 actually scheduled? None. Oh, okay. So there's probably something on the scheduling page that turned them off. They actually scheduled. Great. How many actually called? None. Okay, something happened between, like, once you start getting data, it's so much easier to fix something. But when it's just we spent money and nothing happened, it's like, well, I don't know how to help you. But when you start getting granular with that data, okay, so we've got to wrap. But the big overreaching concept, guys, gals, is you bring the data, not the drama, when it comes to marketing. And that's part of the reason it can be helpful to find someone else to do it for you or with you, because, you know, you get a Jackson, he's just not going to respond with drama, and he's actually going to talk you down off of your drama cliff and just respond with data. If you're doing it by yourself, obviously you need to know some skill sets on how to do it, but just make sure that you're talking yourself out of the drama and bring in the data. Guys, gals, we do the best we can on these little podcasts. If you want more help, growmycleaningcompany.com. Reach out. You can email me, mike@growmycleaningcompany.com. Let us know how we can help. Talk soon. See ya. Well, here we are, the end of the podcast, and you made it. Great job. I've got a little bonus for you before for sticking through with me. But like I mentioned before, if you got value out of this podcast and you want to show a little love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, Spotify, wherever the heck you're listening to this thing. Share with a friend. Share the love. And as a special thank you for those of you that stuck with me to the end, how about I give you my personal phone number so we can text? It's a great way for me to get to know you, your business, your goals personally. So shoot me a text now, 602-932-6431. That's 602-932-6431. I am the only one who responds to these texts, and I will personally respond to everyone I possibly can as long as this number is manned. Don't know how long we're going to keep this at the end of the podcast, so grab it now, 602-932-6431. Give me a text, say hey, can't wait to meet you.